Let's now go to item nine. Willie, I understand you're taking the lead on that.
Good morning. I thought I'd just start with a little bit of a short background. The panel management pay issue came up almost two and a half years then. And in 2011, Health Services recognized that there was a need to provide some compensation to medical staff for some work that they were doing, and also to incentivize them to work in certain clinics within the medical department. With that in mind, from 2011 to 2013, they were using a standalone quote that was being used previously for other on-call pay items. So what ended up happening is mid-2013, CSERA and the county became aware that they were using this code. So a dialogue was opened between CSERA staff, Marilyn and Kurt Schneider as well, with the county, and they started collecting information exactly what these were the work that was being done. And so through those communications going back and forth, there was acknowledged that the work was being done outside of normal working hours. The MOU that was in force at the time, and then the subsequent one later actually provided a little bit more detail as it was built out. So the panel management pay going into the fall of 2013, the communications between the county and CSERA, the agreement was reached that it was not a pensionable item. So the advice that we received from the county indicated that from the auditor controller indicated that it was not, for regular pay, it was not pensionable. There was a resolution that was passed that fall of 2013, iterating that, and also in the resolution, they in the wording, they actually passed the motion to ratify those past payments. So at the end of 2013, in December, the county actually did an adjustment on pay for all the active employees for 2013, and then retroactively issued corrected W-2s for 2011 and 2012. Subsequently, in January, we received advice of who those affected individuals were, all the active individuals that they were refunding contributions to, and then CSERA went and did the analysis and did the calculations to repay the interest that was paid on those contributions. That being said, later in 2014, there were four individuals that were, four individuals that there was an overpayment because they had retired, during that time period. And then there was one individual that actually we provided a refund to because it netted out with their return contribution. Their overpayment was netted out, and they weren't an individual that we would actually seek collection from. So that's, in a brief way of how we came up today as far as the collection of the overpayments. Now, in August of 2015, we notified the retirees that were affected with the amount of the overpayment, how it was assessed, how it was calculated, the options that they had for repayment. Subsequent to that, and some discussions among staff and with Gail, our CEO, we felt that since this had actually come about through an error that was made in coding at the county, that we would come back to the board to actually seek your guidance as to whether to pursue the collection of those overpayments from the county. And that's the substance of the memo, and that's what we're bringing to the board today to discuss. As far as the deliberating on the pensionability of the pay code, that had been reviewed 2 years ago. Determination was made in the fall of 2013. I think the supporting documentation that the board has speaks well to that as to the fact pattern that led us to that conclusion at that time. So as far as the matter before the board today is whether or not the board would want us to seek that collection from the county for the overpayments.
Probably it may be either you or Karen, or perhaps Harvey, are best by background the ones to comment on this. But I would at least make sure it's clear to everyone attending why we're doing this, and that is that we are required to do it under ERISA. under Internal Revenue Code rules, that this is a mandatory requirement of a qualified plan. But let me just ask you to spend more time on that.
The provisions, not only for but in our plan document, but under IRC codes, require us to actually make the plan whole. When an error has been recognized by the system or one of our employers, we do have to do a remedial plan. We actually follow the remedy protocol that's indicated by the Internal Revenue Code, and that's actually something that we do have to do, and we're subject to the Internal Revenue Code provisions to make the plan whole in this case, because an error was recognized, acknowledged, and overpayment exists, so that collection has to be made.
Okay. Before we ask our public speakers to make their comments, are there any questions of Raleigh or Karen or Harvey by the board? In that case,
I just have one question. Do you feel that the people that are affected understand what's going on?
I think the communications that we've had over the past number of months, as I mentioned, this issue has been coming back. You know, with discussions with staff for a couple of years now. There was even going back to mid-2013, I looked at some of the board minutes at the time, and the administrator at the time, Marilyn, actually in staff comment, had brought up that, you know, there was acknowledgement that there's an issue that's going on, there's some staff engagement with a couple of the affected parties. There was no indication who those were, actually, just reading the minutes. But this issue has been, you know, forthcoming over the last couple of years. We've had a number of communications. I know staff has talked to the affected parties as well on the phone.
So. Do you feel we've done our part as far as communicating this to them?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, for that, Priscilla Heinman.
May I be heard first? Would that be possible?
Usher?
Jack Funk.
You're Jack Funk?
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is Jack Funk. I'm retired from the Public Defender's Office. I am no longer an active attorney, so I'm not speaking to you as an attorney. I'm also a member of the Retiree Support Group Board, but I'm not speaking on behalf of the RSG either. I'm just here in my individual capacity. In August of this year, letters were sent to four retired physicians stating that a determination had been made that their pensions would be cut due to a retroactive disallowance of panel management pay as a pension item. These letters were sent with no prior notice to any of the affected retirees, affording them an opportunity to address the appropriateness of this action. All four had their pensions cut on September the 1st of this year. Each of the affected physicians wrote to the Retirement Association requesting the opportunity to contest the determination that the pay item in question was not pensionable. This basic due process request was ignored. On November the 4th, this same item was on the board's agenda. During the public comment portion of the meeting, Dr. David Hurst spoke to this board regarding his assessment that the panel management pay in question was actually properly pensionable, and requested the opportunity, along with the other affected physicians, to be able to be heard on this question. He also delivered an informational letter to the board detailing the position of the affected physicians. Following up on that interchange, the board requested that staff provide more information about what had transpired. Today, there are a number of attachments submitted by staff on this matter, as you've seen in your packets. Yet not a single document speaks to any of the concerns raised by the physicians, nor is their letter included in the materials. In addition, to my knowledge, none of the physicians were contacted by staff to solicit their input on this question. Now, turning the clock back to May 7th of 2014, this board's law firm advised the board by a legal memorandum that the question of physician call pay was a murky issue and that the drawing of bright lines was not appropriate. At the May 7, 2014 hearing, Attorney Harvey Lederman spoke to this issue and stated that each physician retiree should be allowed the opportunity to present evidence as to why a given disputed call item should be deemed pensionable or not. The board adopted its attorney's recommendations at that time. That advice and board adopted procedure was completely ignored as to the four physicians who have just had their pensions reduced, despite the fact that panel management pay is a form of call pay. Those four affected physician retirees continue to request that they each be afforded due process and a chance to make their case as to why this determination to disallow panel management pay as a portion of their FAS calculation made after they had each retired is wrong as applied to them. As Mr. Lederman explained to you at that board session in May of 2014, it's not about the labels one places on the work in question, whether you call them excess hours or overtime or what have you. It's not about the label. It is a matter of what the work was that was done and that it needs to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. So I urge the board to follow its rule adopted on May the 7th of 2014 and give these retirees the due process to which they are entitled. Thank you.
So you feel like you're painting us like we're really cold-blooded people. We're not. We listen to everybody. I don't like that part of it. Everything else sounds good, but we're not that way.
Well, I'm not looking into the hearts of anybody in particular. I'm simply detailing the chain of circumstances here. And I think personally what's happened is that there have been a number of different areas in which staff has been unearthing issues. And the question that I have, or the concern that I have, is that usually what happens with regard to that is there's a fait accompli presented to the board. That is, in August, these letters went out. One person didn't receive the letter until the day before the pay cut. It was mailed earlier, but they'd been away. And so that person called me and said, "What's going on? My pension's getting cut." And then we talked a little bit about the background. I didn't know anything about this at all myself, but I had been listening to some of the other things that have happened over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And at no time were any of those people talked to by staff. Yet it's their pension that it's at risk. It's their pension that has already been reduced. And yet there's no effort made to actually interact with those people and talk to them about it to find out whether or not that action should be taken. And in particular, when this area has already been addressed by the board in May of 2014 and told essentially that because of the complexity of this area, that each person, each physician retiree, should have the opportunity to come in and make their pitch when something's going to be disallowed. None of that's taken place, despite the fact that this board adopted that protocol. So I'm not here to point fingers at any particular person. However, I do think it's a little disturbing that people get their pensions cut and not have the opportunity to be heard about that. So that's what I'm trying to speak to today.
Jack, did anybody call the office to find out, hey, I got this letter, or they just called you?
My understanding is each of those persons communicated with the staff upon receipt of those letters. Some of those persons did so, I think, in mid-August. The person who didn't get their notice until September 1st, I think, did so, well, August 31st, did so after September 1st. I believe each of them also wrote letters to staff requesting the opportunity to be heard. There may or may not have been some communication about, well, it's too late now. That might have been communicated to one of the people. I'm not quite sure. I wasn't one of those people. You can ask Dr. Hurst. I think he's about to address the board. But so there was that part of it, that is that initial decision being made without consultation with any of the affected retirees. And then when we happen to notice that this matter was on the board's agenda in a related vein, it's not exactly the question of pensionability, as Raleigh pointed out here, but the question of seeking get back from the county relative to the monies involved, we saw the opportunity to at least come forward to the public comment section and explain what happened. And then, as Mr. Phillips mentioned, a few of the people were huddling in a hotel room around the speakerphone at that particular meeting. I think that was the one that where that took place, but at least it was kind of evident at that point that there wasn't a thorough understanding about how we got from there to here. And I had thought that after that hearing, even though it was suggested that it be done rather expeditiously, that there would at least be some effort made to talk to those people to find out what their case was, particularly since they had delivered to the board a statement about why they felt that the pensionability factors were all present given the work that was involved. So then we're back on the calendar. None of that's taken place. This is the last opportunity to say anything about it, you know, short of some other sort of action. And I think that they'd like to be heard. So I know that Dr. Hurst is going to say a few words about it this morning, but ultimately I think the issue is the staff, before it makes the determination to cut somebody's pension, ought to communicate with that person, find out what they have to say about it. That's my feeling.
Again, you're making it sound that they didn't. You said you were really clear, everybody understood what was going on. So,
in consulting with staff, and Mr. Funk, do you recall a conversation that we had in January of this year, this and related other call items? And
yes.
You were reporting back, I believe you represent the RSG as well?
I don't represent RSG. I am a member of the RSG board. We had a discussion at that time about other call items,
right.
Physician call items, yes.
Okay. So as far as the pensionability aspect, a number of the items that we discussed at that time also related to this and what the process is for staff review when a determination is made with respect to the pensionability of an item. The board adopted certain procedures even preceding the May determination. There was a procedure in place where a determination could be made by staff with respect to the pensionability of a pay item. In this case, with panel management, it was very clear from the advice in consultation with the county that even their interpretation of the work and duties at that time indicated that it was not a pensionable, the work was not pensionable activity. So the pay code that was being used was inappropriate. A new pay code was instituted in October of that year, and it was classed as a non-pensionable item. So I think that that fact pattern, I don't think is in dispute here.
Well, the problem is that the affected persons, not only on this but on the other things that we were talking about earlier in the year, all those people had long since retired. So they're working along. They have certain understandings about things, maybe rightly or wrongly, but that's what's communicated to them. They retire. Sometime thereafter, the rules change. And then those rules are applied retroactively to them without any input from them at all. So when we did discuss in January other items of physician pay, I didn't ever hear the words panel management pay brought up in that conversation. I had no idea what it was until August of this year. So the fact that some physicians who have call issues have had now some degree of process, we're still sort of waiting for hearings to take place with regard to that. That doesn't mean that four physicians who aren't included in that group, who have a different pension item, ought to be simply determined without any input from them.
No, and that's agreed. I think that where there's a lot of confusion when it comes to the call items, and I think the board would benefit from this, is that up until very recently, this year when we started talking about panel management, there was a blending together as to on-call because there was a very specific code that was used, a pay code, but there are a lot of other related duties, across departments that work activity was being coded as on-call because they only had this one code. So it's sort of trying to be like a one-size-fits-all. Since then, recognizing the problem, the county actually has created separate and distinct codes that more truly represent the activity for all the different occupational classes. So I think that this is where some of the confusion goes back, and even the board When you recall, going back to 2013 and earlier, whenever it was brought forward or discussed, we were always, the term on-call was always used. The term panel management to characterize the very specific work that was reviewed in the duties is a relatively new term that was coined, over the past 2 years. But in practice, I think everybody was still using it as a vernacular on-call.
The issue seems to be you're saying that these people were notified in sufficient time to have a chance to defend the action to be taken.
The action was already taken, is what I'm saying. So the letters that were sent out in August said your pension's being reduced in September, and that's it. There was no, please come to a meeting and talk about it. Please, let us explain to you what's taken place. It's just a fait accompli that's communicated to them. And I appreciate that there are other folks who have other issues going, and the health department obviously had pay code issues. I mean, that's abundantly clear throughout this. But to analyze it fairly, in my opinion, the question is whether or not the work involved qualifies as pensionable or not. And instead of that, we hear, well, this pay code wasn't pensionable. But the question is, what was the work? And I think the same situation obtains here, where in several different of the attachments, there's a reference to excess hours. So the question really is, what was that work? Was it excess hours, or was it part of the job? And if it's part of the job, and it meets the other rubrics, the scheduling, the members of the class, and all that sort of stuff, the way I read the law, and again, I'm not speaking as an attorney, not allowed to do that anymore, is it pensionable? So that's the analysis that's never really taken place. What's taken place is, in 2013, the county agreed that it's not pensionable. But the county was not these individual persons. These persons were retired. And so the changing of the rules after the fact, and then applying that change to people who are already out the door, creates a fairness issue. And they ought to have the opportunity to at least make their pitch as to the circumstances of what the work actually was.
If I can redirect the board, the last meeting, the motion that was passed, we were asked to provide additional background information, but not to bring it back and discuss the pensionability of on-call. So the background information was provided to the board. The matter in front of the board today is, we're seeking guidance to go back to the county to seek collection of its overpayments. And we have an agendized discussion on the pensionability of the PA.
I just wanted to mention a couple things. One, the panel management pay, we are conducting a review of a lot of different differentials in whether they were appropriate or not, whether there was spiking done using those differentials, that whole thing. We have callback hearings. We're going to be bringing HAZMAT back in the next month or two. We have all of these different things going on. Panel management pay, I see as being really separate from some of those items and that analysis that we're doing. Since back in 2013, the county themselves acknowledged, hey, this work is being done under the on-call pay code. We need to break out a separate pay code for this item. They were really clear in the resolution, the retroactive activities were panel management pay and should be corrected. They refunded contributions. There was this whole process. And Sisera's acknowledged, per IRS, we need to make the plan whole. We can't just wash it through the valuation that way. So our options are to either go back to the members affected and ask them to repay that amount, or go back to the employer and have them make us whole. And since the county had made that determination in 2013, we're here asking to see if the board would like us to go to the county and ask them for that.
The county was very clear in its resolution on September 24th to use the line to ratify prior payments for the purpose for this purpose as panel management pay. The term in its in bold letters, ratify. And from the direction that we received and the coordination that we effected with the county with respect to the refund of contributions, their adjustment to their payment advice, corrections to the W-2s that they did for 2011-2012, and then our part of that, they were active service at the time that was within the period that was covered under the resolution because it goes back to 2011. It's unfortunate that at that time that they chose to retire, they're affected by this, but even by the county's acknowledgement and their direction under the resolution, they actually went about to do the retroactive corrections all the way back to 2011. That also compelled us because we also had to affect the return of interest on those contributions as well. Individuals that retired were situated differently because they had ceased employment at that time. They had retired. However, they still had active service time, obviously, because those pay items, that pay item was used in calculation of the final average salary. So it sort of put us in that place that we, and the reason why there's such a time lag, we actually did a very thorough review well over a year in discussions, you know, among staff and with the county, and how we'd actually affect these.
And the board has delegated to staff the ability to make determinations on pensionable compensation and earnable compensation. And the board last year did adopt some error correction policies, and this is actually what we have done is actually in line with those error correction policies that were adopted.
So who determined whether PMP was pensionable or not?
Right.
The employer or the retirement board in this case?
It was not the retirement board.
Okay, so the dispute whether or not PMP is pensionable in the first place would be with the board of supervisors and not with the retirement board, it sounds like. Is that correct?
My understanding is that the employers cannot determine whether or not something is pensionable.
Right. Right.
Correct, yeah.
So
I have the same understanding.
Well, I do have some comments, and that was a really good question, Rusty. I was wondering if we could proceed with the public comments and hear from the public. The there's Dr. Hurst here as well, and then it would be my pleasure to address some of these issues and talk about pensionability, process, all the issues that were raised.
Good.
That's a good idea.
Yep. Mr. Pink, anything further?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Hurst.
So I talked with you a couple of meetings ago.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Dr. David Hurst. I work at the Brentwood Health Center. I retired 3 years ago after 25 years of service. So what we heard today, I think, didn't really address the issues that I brought up. It was stated that the county discussed with Cicero whether or not this should be pensionable, but didn't really say what the discussion was and why a determination was made. Certainly there was no input from us, from we physicians. I think there's been a lot of discussion about panel management pay as it currently is performed and compensated, and I think everybody agrees that the way it is now, it's not pensionable. The question is what was it during the time that we were working and being paid for that? And that was significantly different in some ways. Probably the biggest difference is our current electronic medical record system, and now much of the work can be done from home or any time, any place. When we were doing panel management, it was it had to be done during regularly scheduled clinic time. So I think that's a significant difference. So we were paid under the code D-19, and as you know, the question of which of what of those payments is pensionable is very complicated. Last year you asked for a legal opinion about this. And their conclusion was that much of the payment under the pay code D-16 was true overtime and should not be pensionable. But they go on to say, however, because retiring physicians may be able to show that some of the time recorded under pay code D16 meets the exception to the overtime exclusion rule, we believe that the board should allow individual physicians the opportunity to make that showing. Specifically, if a physician can establish to the satisfaction of the board that some of the time recorded under pay code D16 was comprised of time that meets the description of overtime type 1 or type 2, was regularly scheduled, and was required to be worked by everyone in the same grade or class, then the pay for that time should qualify as pensionable. So, as I told the board previously, we believe that our panel management pay was pensionable under those guidelines for the following reasons. First of all, it was required work. Because of the number and complexity of our patients, our clinics generally did not finish until after the clinics were scheduled to end. After we finished seeing patients, we were then required to review labs and lab test results, refill prescriptions, call patients, complete forms, and do other tasks. Number two, all physicians doing family practice clinics were required to do this, even though the county decided they would only pay physicians who did five clinics a week or more for their extra work. All were required to do the work. Three, it was scheduled. We worked through our required breaks and much of our lunch hour, and then long after the clinic was scheduled to end to complete the work. There were no electronic medical records for much of the time we did this work, so we had to do the work on days that we were regularly scheduled to do clinics, and we only received panel management pay on the days that we actually did work. And another thing that I think should be considered is that we were expressly told by our managers that panel management pay was pensionable. So this is clearly complicated. Therefore, we request an individualized retirement hearing. This would satisfy the recommendations of your attorney, Mr. Lederman. It would provide an opportunity for your staff and for us to present information to a neutral person who could then make recommendations to you so that you could make an informed decision. And we believe that this is the only fair way to resolve this issue because in my opinion, at least, there's really not been a discussion about why this should or should not be pensionable. So that's our opinion.
Sir, I have one quick question.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I missed the beginning of your speech here. I was writing something down from my thoughts from the last little session. What was that you were reading that from? You were quoting something, and I just want to...
Oh, I was quoting that is from the... let's see. That's the report you guys you received from your lawyer, from the Reed Smith report.
It's on the date of that.
The date is April 14th, 2014.
Excellent. Thank you.
And that was regarding callback pay. Right?
That was regarding pay coded as pay code D16, which includes many different things.
Is that different than the PMP?
Yes.
I believe PMP was paid under that code, was it not?
It was erroneously paid as on-call pay. Mm-hmm. It was coded as on-call pay erroneously.
Okay, but why do you say that that was erroneously coded that way?
The county decided that it was an error on their part because the pay was not for on-call work, it was for panel management work.
Well, as I'm sure you know, what on-call work is various different things. Sometimes it's things that people do in the hospital or in the clinic. Sometimes it's things that they're consulted for. Sometimes it's things that they're asked to come back for. So it's a big mix of various kinds of things.
Were you aware that your previous employer did this?
What's that?
This is something your previous employer did. Were you aware of that?
You mean Contra Costa County? Did what? I'm sorry.
Made the determination that it was erroneous pay. Were you aware that they did it?
I was aware that they changed the and when the MOU was renegotiated, they changed the way the panel manage what we call panel management pay was coded and reimbursed.
Were you
Yes. They said it was erroneous the way they did it before. This is the first you've heard of it?
I've been working with this for the last few months. So this is, at the time we retired, we were not aware that it had been considered erroneous the way it was coded before. I think we were aware that there had been a change in the way that it was coded for after we retired, but I don't know that anybody told us that there had been a determination that that was an erroneous coding.
Dr. Hurst, all four of the physicians involved in this had retired prior to the determination by the county that they were going to recode it?
Correct. Right.
Thank you.
Any further questions of Dr. Hurst?
No, but of counsel, just to be clear, and have we articulated what is their legal recourse? Is it against the county for changing the coding, or is it an action, in essence, for Cesera to have a hearing on this issue? That's what I'm here, the question being, in essence, they want their day in court to challenge this recoding, to challenge this reduction in their pension. Where is the appropriate forum for them to be able to do that?
That hasn't been discussed yet. That's something that...
It is not agendized today that we're not...
It hasn't been discussed with the retirees, and it hasn't been discussed with the board. It's at this point we're in a preliminary phase, if you will.
Okay.
And if there is interest on the part of the board to send some questions to a hearing officer, we can explore that. We can put that on a future agenda. In terms of us advising retirees on whether they should pursue some recourse against their employer, that's not our role.
No, but I just want to be clear. Are we the appropriate forum? And if we are, what is the due process that would follow? And there's also a little bit of a chicken and an egg discussion going on. Are we going to ask the county to repay this amount when we haven't really defined, is it appropriate that we aren't paying this amount? And it begs the question of, do we always have the employer repay, or is there an issue of unjust enrichment for retirees who unfairly, you know, despite errors, are receiving this? So there are quite a few questions here, and so that's just what I'm trying to get defined as part of our discussion.
So we have a process, I believe, for error correction, a policy that we adopted, and I thought that included the ability, when we do a correction, the ability for an affected participant or a retiree to give notice to this board that they would like to have a hearing, if for lack of a better word, to be heard by this board of what their current, their individual circumstances are, correct?
That is not expressed in our error correction policy. In fact, the error correction policy and also our board regulations, which are adopted by the Board of Supervisors, say in terms of making immediate corrections prospectively to the correct amount, that has to be done immediately.
Okay.
That was always the case even before we adopted the policies. When you get into the question of retroactivity, then yes, there is a process there that is set forth in the policy. Those changes haven't been made yet, the retroactive recoupment of overpayments in this case.
Okay.
There can be some confusion. There's confusion about all these pay codes. There's also some confusion about this individualized hearing issue that people keep referring to. And that is something that is, number one, Gail mentioned the retiree look back and spiking review. That certainly is where we are allowing the retirees to have an individualized hearing. Also, when Reed Smith Harvey provided an analysis to the board regarding callback pay, that in the resolution adopted by the board does say that on callback pay, there's an individualized hearing right for folks to come in and talk about their particular circumstances. In terms of correcting the pension to the correct amount once an error has been found, That is governed by our error correction policy, which is in your packet, and the correction has to be done immediately.
We've done that, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what we're really talking about then is kind of
the retroactive part.
So
I'm happy to address all these issues. I want to find out from Dr. Hirst if he has concluded at this point his public comment.
Well, I just wanted to say I think that there is some confusion about what is a correction of an incorrectly paid pension and what is a decision of what is pensionable and what is not. I mean, in my opinion, this is not a correction of an addition. This is a determination. And I'll just say that in this document it says, you're talking about physician callback pay in parenthesis county pay code D16. I think we were paid under county code, pay code D16. So I, of course, my opinion is that we should have.
We understand your point. Yeah. Yeah.
Clarify, PMP was under D16.
Right. That is what we were paid under that code. That's what we put on our timesheets. Right.
Great.
So I had a question of Karen. So I want to make sure I understand what this issue is. Is the matter before us a process whereby the employer has determined it made payments in error because of the coding, and we're addressing what amounts to an employer error identified by the employer as such, trying to distinguish that from a situation where we either self-discover our own error or someone else's error and then have to take some measure to correct it? Here, you've got an employer say, you know what, got it wrong. We coded it here, it should have been here. You know, we need to correct that. So that's the circumstance we're dealing with here, right?
Today.
The error here is, yes, the employer discovered that they were paying individuals on-call pay when, in fact, a portion of the on-call pay was really for panel management tasks. That's very clear from the documents that we provided from the county.
Right.
There's a county resolution that explains exactly what happened. And so now they are correcting it. They're creating a new pay item. It is in the MOU, and the MOU is here in your packet, and it describes what panel management pay is. And then as this is being corrected by the county, Cicera looks at retirees and sees that there are a handful of retirees that retired, and actually I think the county provided information to Cicera that, hey, there are folks who've already retired, but they were getting panel management pay. It wasn't called panel management pay at that time. The department was coding it, and then the county was reporting it as on-call pay, and that was an error. So for the retirement system, what we have are benefit calculations for a handful of individuals that included in the compensation part of the formula certain compensation that was reported as on-call pay, which at the time was a pensionable item, but in fact were a non-pensionable item, which is payment for panel management pay duties.
Right, so I'm just trying to make sure that everybody, most importantly myself at the moment, fully understands that the question before the House isn't whether something is or isn't pensionable compensation. That's not the question before us. The question before us is an employer has determined it made an error, the paymaster made an error in how it coded pay or benefits. It has corrected that error. We've been in that process for some time, as the packet shows. So the question here isn't whether we're going to devolve into the whole discussion about whether something is or isn't pensionable. That's not before us, right?
That's correct, but the one caveat to that is that it can be before you because the statute says that compensation earnable is to be determined by the board. Now, the board, in order to implement that, has adopted policies that delegate that to staff, but you can see in the letters that we provided to the county with Cicera's determination on pensionability that it specifically says this is Cicera's determination of pensionability made as of this time based on the law as we know it. This hasn't gone to the board. The board might reach a different conclusion. So today, the motion that required us to bring this issue back with more information specifically said, at this point in time, we are not looking at pensionability, but the board always has the right to say, let's pull this item. let's actually analyze pensionability first, if you wish to do that.
So the determination that the county made is that it was being coded or reported incorrectly. That's that error.
Right.
In that the code that it was being reported as, it was being treated as a pensionable item.
Correct.
Once they pulled it out of on-call pay coding, then we went down a different street that it shouldn't have been, and so refunds were made and corrections were made for active employees. Correct. On a going forward basis and a retro basis. But the issue, whether or not on-call or panel management pay as a distinct item of pay, that determination has never been brought before this board.
Correct.
The first time this board saw this issue was two meetings ago, when the same issue as far as recovering the overpayment to the retirees from the county was presented to us.
Correct.
And so the four affected retirees received letters, as we've done in the past. Initially, I think what happened with the weekend call or whatever that determination is that letters had gone out saying that your pensions were going to be adjusted. The affected members responded. Some of them came, spoke before this board, and this board at that point said, well, wait a minute, let's take a closer look at this. So that's essentially where we're at. Letters have gone out, adjustments have been made on a going forward basis, but this board has not made a determination with regards to the pensionability of this panel management pay item. Because
right.
it's a unique item that's been pulled out of a larger coding. I can't make the motion at this point, but I would ask that the issue of pensionability of panel management pay be put on a future agenda for this board to make a determination as to whether or not it is or it isn't, or whether or not we're going to need additional information and treat it the way we're doing the weekend call or the callback issue with the other physician.
And that would be limited to the retirees at hand.
Yes.
Because as Dr. Hurst just, I think, commented, he believes that the retirees might have performed job duties that were slightly different than what the actual panel management pay is at this point with pursuant to the county's MOU.
Right.
And I we don't know at this point what the differences might be, if there are any, but that wouldn't impact any actives or any subsequent retirees with regards to panel
maybe it's in the information I skimmed through it. Was there a different pay rate that should have been paid for panel management as opposed to on-call pay? It seems that the on-call is
straight time.
It's just straight time for both.
The most recent one, it says straight time rate.
Was
management.
The on-call pay the same as the management?
In the previous MOU, it wasn't spelled out. So the pay code that was used with on-call, like one scenario which you might be familiar with, for every 4 hours work, there was one pay. Mm. You know, very similar. With the subsequent MOU, there's actually a section that spells out and indicates what the duties are and the eligibility for panel management pay, and it is very specific at that point in the pay rate.
Okay, so there could
for the previous work it was not specified.
So for these affected retired physicians, there could be a pay differential as well that needs to be looked at. If from our standpoint, as far as whether or not if it was being reported,
I don't think so, because I don't think the county went back that far in making retroactive changes to payments. So I don't think that the county would recalculate payments based on the fact that they were provided on-call pay and maybe should have been provided panel management pay, because at that time
and I don't know if there was a
they didn't have...
differential in pay between those two items, even though the panel management was all being reported under the one code, the on-call code, which would have been a particular dollar amount per hour or per shift or whatever. Okay.
Can you always refer to the county?
Harvey?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So now you know why I suggested that we try to avoid labels and look at the actual work that's performed. The comment I want to make is the predicate to everything that's happened, all actions, the letters, the county's resolution, the letters that went to the affected members, the motion or the subject matter that's agendized before us today, are all based on the predicate, which was that staff made a determination that this type of work under the conditions, regardless of label, should not be pensionable under our code section, right? So that determination has been made by staff, and that's what triggered everything that's happened and is before you today. Now the question is, does the board want to hear that and make a board decision on it, or let it rest with the staff determination? Because the board could say, this is something that's being contested. We want to give the members their right to be heard on it as to the work that they did, not the label that was affixed to it properly or erroneously, but the label aside, was the work that they did it fall into the parameters of being pensionable work for which it should be properly included in their compensation. This board has not heard that. Staff has made a determination under our guidelines and parameters that this type of work and this type of pay falls into the bucket of apples, not of pensionable oranges. You may want to hear that issue and provide an opportunity for members to come in and make their case or not make their case. But in answering Ms. Anderson's question, pensionability is solely the province of this board. Whether the county labeled it in the wrong bucket or not and said apples or oranges and now is separating that out has absolutely nothing to do with the issue of pensionability. It's just that over time, as a matter of shorthand, when we saw something, when staff here see something coded as D16 or D32, that's shorthand for pensionable. These apples were put into that pensionable bucket of oranges. Now the county has backed that out because they think the work is not on-call work and doesn't belong in that code section. That completely begs the question for us is to make a determination on pensionability. Staff has made that determination. Now the question is, do you want to leave it at staff's determination, or do you want to schedule something for the board to tee it up here with members' further input? I might say that since the agenda item before the board today is whether or not to seek recovery of amounts of money from the county instead of from the individuals, that it's really hard to make that determination, even go down that route of a correction to pensionability if you haven't first answered the question, is it pensionable or not? Yes. If you believe that you want to leave the staff determination that it's not pensionable, then I think it's appropriate to go ahead and say, okay, we've got corrections to make. How shall we do it? If you want to raise the issue anew and have the board make a determination, then frankly, I would suggest that we not consider the agenda item that's before us today until we decide the predicate, which is the board wants to make a decision on whether it's pensionable or not.
Brian, you started out saying this isn't a motion, but then effectively formatted a potential motion. Do you want to convert that to a motion? See if there is a second and then discuss?
I'm not sure if we can, if the way this item is agendized, that we can make a motion with regards to putting an item on a future agenda, or that this board make a determination.
It wouldn't need a motion. It would be by direction. To staff to agendize something, so it wouldn't necessarily be a formal motion. It's not an action. It's a direction.
I mean, I like the idea of staff making an initial determination, and if the affected parties are notified and they have no complaints,
right,
with regards to the proposed changes, then it's a done deal. But if the affected parties have a complaint or wish to be heard or have an issue with it, then I think it should come to the board, as we've done in both hazmat and the other weekend rounds issues so far.
So I just have one more question of Dr. Hurst. You are one of the affected retirees, correct?
Correct.
So are you coming before us asking us to consider this item of pensionable, whether it was in fact pensionable? That's what I heard from you.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And whether that's to the board or in a smaller venue, but we would like to give our input.
We have one more public speaker too, Dr. Hinman. If Dr. Hurst, if you're finished, it
yes,
probably makes sense to ask Dr. Hinman too.
Mr. Chair, could we ask the speaker to sort of focus on anything that hasn't already been said,
yes,
so that we can shorten down our meeting time?
I'm Priscilla Hinman, and I did family practice for the county for 20 years, and I retired at the end of 2012. And what's occurred to me hearing the discussion is that the rules are, of course, somewhat artificial, but that it's really hard to fairly compensate a physician's work, especially given the fact how rapidly it's changing. So these rules may have been appropriate for 10 years ago, but they're not too helpful now. Our care, our work is by nature fluid, and we may actually one day finish clinic early, but then we go do our charts. We still get compensated, even though we weren't seeing a patient for that last half hour. We, as Dr. Hurst pointed out, before the EMR, we would have a stack of charts waiting for us after clinic at lunchtime. There's no question of going out for lunch or being home in time to have dinner with your family. And everyone knew this. The medical records team brought you your charts and left them on your desk. The care coordinators brought the messages, left them on your desk. And it was unlikely that if you were in clinic that day, you would not be leaving until 6:30 at least. Yeah.
Could I ask a question? You may have said it, and I missed it. Are you one of the four affected
physicians? Yes, I am.
And are you primarily here to request that your matter be heard, or that the board determine the pensionability of that compensation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure I got it.
So yes, I am giving you reasons why it should have been pensionable in any system that is trying to be fair, because it's work that's actually done.
Can yeah, I just interrupt you for a second?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're prepared to discuss the issue of,
uh-huh,
of moving this matter to another
right,
meeting where we can listen to you all of the reasons why,
uh-huh,
this should or should not be pensionable.
Okay.
But this is not on the agenda for today.
Uh-huh.
So if we could not focus so much on all the reasons,
uh-huh,
on the argument of, uh-huh, pensionable versus pensionable,
yeah,
then that would help us move to another meeting, move this item to,
uh-huh,
where it can be more fully understood and heard.
Is there a particular question you'd like me to address?
Well, the point out is we all respect what you did.
Mm-hmm. I know you're
absolutely
about it, but
uh-huh,
we definitely,
uh-huh,
appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether
thank you,
it's a pensionable item or not.
Okay.
So, I just want to say something. Just to be respectful of everyone's time, including yourself, and you're doing a wonderful job speaking. To your point, Deborah, I would like to just give staff direction to agendize this item and ask Mr. Chair to move on to the next item.
Right. I would agree.
I would like
to that,
agendize whether or not the pension, the panel management code is.
I'm certainly prepared to do that. Is there something specifically left in your comments that you'd like to comment on? I'm reluctant to just stop you immediately, but you do understand what we're...
Yes, I do understand that. Yeah.
You had us at hello.
And I think I'm reinforcing what Dr. Hurst said and what a lot of you have said.
I think the board is prepared to proceed down the path that you,
uh-huh,
were suggesting, that we,
right,
agendize for a future meeting. our determination of whether or not the panel management pay that has been reversed in terms of being pensionable should, in your cases, be considered to be pensionable. By the dead inarticulately, I think that's where we're going.
Yeah.
And if there's no objection to that by the board, then let's proceed on that basis. And let me say thank you for your testimony.
One question of you, and I know that your time is running short, and I thank you for the time that you've given us. But the determination was made in the fall of 2013, which is about 8 months after I retired. But I did not get a letter until August of 2015, at which time quite a few overpayments, or what you say are overpayments, had accumulated. And I've never quite understood the reason for that. If, as you say, the item was acted on immediately.
Raleigh, is that something you want to try and respond to?
Well, when the dialogue that we had after the determination was made in the fall of 2013, the county did act very quickly to adjust the current year 2013. It did take a number of months for them to assemble all the data, do their analysis of all the effective actives, to quantify and provide the metrics on what those corrections were going to look like on their side. And then we actually took a look at and confirmed their numbers as to what had been reported through our front end and our pension. That took in itself through to mid 2014. The actual corrections and refund of interest we didn't complete until the fall, October of 2014. During that process, the retirees were identified, and it was actually after the review in the roster that was presented of all the actives, there were these individuals that were identified at a later date, later that year. And then that's when we started going through the process of looking at their individual situations, doing the analysis, communicating back and forth with the county, consulting, looking at our correction policy, how would we actually go about doing this, and then that's what brought us to this year, actually do those corrections.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Rusty.
Going along with the request to agendize this and have staff come back with more information, I'd like to understand better the history behind PNP. Did it actually start in 2011, or were the duties always there before, and then at some point decided to put a label on it? That would be interesting to know.
Well, just anecdotally, in discussions at the time, that myself and the previous deputy CEO Kurt Schneider had with Hodge and Bob Campbell. At the time, the medical director recognized the need that there should be some compensation for the doctors for this other work. At that time, back in 2011, there wasn't a label put onto it. But there seemed to have been a disconnect between the health services medical payroll and how that was reported from the timesheets up through their front end for payment for that time and how that was being coded. There's also some other issues that related to that. There's also another code called DO1, which is something that's usually used for an adjustment, but it's also, when we see that, it's a pensionable item. So not only under E32 and some of the on-call, we also saw some adjustments being made for time using this other pensionable corrective code as well. So during that process, and that all started in 2011, that's when it was quantified by the county, when that practice started for payment for those that other type of work. What happened previous to 2011 and how they were, the medical director, I guess, Dr. Walker, will probably speak to that. But it's at least that body of work, that activity, that they felt that compensation should be made, that started in 2011. As far as putting a dollar value onto that and providing some form of compensation. The unfortunate thing is with their clear direction to their payroll clerks and how to key that and how to record that time off the timesheets, that's where the disconnect occurs. So the available code, well, it looks like it, you know, so you had, you know, our assessment was that that's where the disconnect happened, is that the a determination was being made at the payroll point that, well, we have to put it somewhere, you know, in the direction from, even as the doctors had indicated, that from their medical staff and the director, they had said that it was a pensionable item. So they had claimed that it was pensionable. That direction sort of flowed through down to the payroll clerk, and it was keyed in on that basis. It was subsequent to that in 2013 when, in a broader context of the county and the auditor controller, realized that that work at that time was not pensionable activity.
I just wanted to say thank you, but I think this is all information we need to hear in our next consideration of this. So,
it was impressive, anecdotally.
Yeah.
But I greatly appreciate the amount of knowledge that and the amount of work that the two of you have done into this, and I look forward to seeing this come back in another session when we can talk more about those details.
Things to add, a lot of times it's better for me, I always say the county, like it's a generic term, but it'd be helpful if I knew it was a David Twa, was it the person in charge of health services that's doing
health
this?
Services. It was health services. It was a Bill Walker.
Yep.
And
okay.
There's a lot more that we'll learn about it.
Right.
Okay.
Through the process. I mean, again, there are different ways that you want to compensate employees, and you can't always do it through a salary increase and other things. So, again, there's a more complex basis for it, and the county administrator's office doesn't always know all of the pay codes, all the things that go on in the health department, you know, which of course is a significant part of the county operations and budget. So anyway,
thank you.
Karen, I know you had some comments you intended to make after all of the preceding comments had been made on the agendized issue. Are any of those appropriate right now before we break?
At this point, with coming back on the pensionability as it relates to these five retirees, I don't think I have any additional comments.
Okay.
Although many of the questions and issues that have been brought up today, the answers to those are in the documents that are in the packet for today.
Okay. With that, let's take 5 minutes. Reconvene in closed session at 20 after.